to see this number out tonight. Good to have some begin visiting with us. We're so delighted to have you in our study. I encourage you to get your Bible that you may study along with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe to be true, and yet at the same time have the responsibility of preaching the truth of the gospel. If you find I've taught something wrong or in a way that's unbecoming of a Christian, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that Brother Simpkins has suggested. And again tonight, all things have been made ready. The clothing here, there's baptistry field, where you can confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and be immersed for the remission of sins. Or if you need to come and receive prayers that you may be restored, we'd be glad to pray on your behalf. It's been good to have the Newmans with us. And I tried to get Brother Fred to preach tonight, but we'll have to have Brother Fred come and hold us a meeting. We're so delighted to have him with us this evening. He and his wife. I'm sorry, I about left out some. I'm going to get myself in trouble, but we're glad to have them with us. If you have your Bible this evening, if you'll turn with me to the 40th Psalm, Psalm 40, and I want to notice one verse in particular for our study, and I like to focus our attention on verse 9. In verse 9, David, the man after God's own heart, as he is penning this psalm, makes an outstanding statement. In verse 9, when he has said, I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know. If you take your Bible in the 40th Psalm, you will recognize that David at this time is offering praise unto God for his deliverance. Then the psalmist makes the statement that he had not refrained his lips or restrained his lips. And what that means is that at that particular time, the psalmist had not sealed his lips, but that his lips were open with praise unto God in Psalm 40 and verse 9. Then if you take your Bible, notice in that same verse, in reference to God, the man said, Thou knowest I did not seal my lips. Thou knowest that I gave you praise and that I offered and proclaimed the good news of righteousness. If you have your Bible, underscore good news of righteousness. When we come to the New Testament and we talk about good news, we're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But under this dispensation, David, the man after God's own heart, declares, I proclaim the good news of righteousness. In the assembly, I did not seal my lips. I would, for a few moments of our time, like to study about sealing our lips. We may not be able to fool others about the words that come from our lips, but we cannot deceive God. He knows what comes from our mouth. He knows what we speak and what we don't speak. And there is a time that we need to seal our lips. And then there comes a time when we don't need to seal our lips. If you take your Bible and take it to the book of James and the third chapter, I want to show you some improper uses of the tongue and a time that one needs to seal their lips, a time their lips should be closed. In the book of James and the third chapter, when one speaks words of things which they should not, words of cursing, that individual needs to seal his lips. In James chapter 3, in verse 10, the writer of God says, Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. And so when I think about cursing, I recognize that I need to be careful what I speak from my lips. But then if you take your Bible, turn back to the Old Testament, to the book of Proverbs and the 12th chapter. And when you come to the book of Proverbs and the 12th chapter, look, if you will, kindly at verse 22. In verse 22, notice the writer of God says that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. Underscore lying lips. And you know what the man in Proverbs is saying? Is that lying lips should be sealed. That an individual ought not to speak untruth, but that an individual should deal truthfully, and that is the delight of the God of heaven. But then if you take your Bible, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And when you come to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, observe with me another time the statement is used. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at what he says in verse 11. He is talking about that there should be some that need to be dealt with because of their sin. And he says in verse 11, we hear that there are some who walk among you, watch it, in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Underscore busybody. That means a gossip. You recognize tonight that one who is a gossip is an individual that needs to seal his lips. That individual goes contrary to 1 Thessalonians 4:11 when Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica in that first epistle, and he said that you also aspire to lead a quiet life. If you're running everywhere telling all the gossip, then you can't lead a quiet life. If you run from this person to that person with the rumor mill and the gossip mill, and you just can't wait to tell it, then, my friend, I'll tell you that that is an individual that needs to examine their heart and they need to seal their lips. But then, if you have your Bible, consider in Proverbs 26, 28, that there is another individual that needs to be on guard, and perhaps he needs to look at his own heart and seal his lips. Look at verse 28. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Notice that word, flattery. Words of flattery that aren't sincere. Words to flatter to gain advantage. And that is talked about in the book of Jude. That individual spoke flattering words that they may gain advantage. And that is taking somebody and trying to butter them up in a way that they will be on your side instead of the Lord's side. And such, my friend, are all warned about that they need to seal their lips because it's an improper use of the tongue. And he talks about in Revelation 21:8 that such will not enter into heaven. In Revelation 21:8 he said, all liars whose lips have not been sealed will not enter into heaven, since here are some cases in which lips should be sealed. Remember now tonight in our study, God knows whether or not they have been. If we have restrained our lips from saying those things that are perverse, those things that are gossip, those things that are flattering, those things that are lying. But that brings up the second thought in our study. There comes a time that we don't seal our lips. And there's a time that our lips should not be sealed. And there is no doubt that men will be lost for not sealing their lips, and yet there are going to be others lost for sealing their lips when they should not. Open your Bible, if you will, kindly, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And when you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, notice, if you will, in verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In other words, he said, it is hidden to them that are lost. In other words, there are some who never miss a service. They may visit others, and yet they miss opportunity after opportunity to teach someone the truth by sealing their lips when they should have been open. Open your Bible, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And when you come to 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice, if you will, what the Apostle Paul said to the young evangelist. And Paul is telling Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 to preach the word. He says in verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll do what? Heap up for themselves teachers and turn their ears away from truth and be turned aside to fables. Now then, notice that here is a time one should not seal their lips when they are to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want to bring up a third thought in our study. When you go back and look at the Bible, have you ever noticed some great men who did not seal their lips? Have you ever studied the Bible and noticed the men that would not seal their lips regardless of the cause? And such should be done by preachers, elders, deacons, yea, every member of the Lord's body. If you have your Bible tonight, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12. And when you come to 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13, we have a shining example of a man who would not keep his lips sealed. Here was a man identified as Nathan. And though David had sinned by committing adultery with Bathsheba, notice that Nathan the prophet comes and rebukes that man. Here was the king of Israel that had committed a sin. He's guilty of the sin. And then Nathan comes and relates the story of the man with lambs and who had plenty. And yet then he went to the neighbor who had one little ewe lamb that he treated as a daughter. And he took the ewe lamb and sacrificed it for the stranger. He knew that David had a shepherd's heart. And so he used sheep as his example. And David said, that man shall pay fourfold. That man shall surely die. And that is when Nathan said, thou art the man. Have you ever thought about what courage it would take someone to look at the king and say that? And yet Nathan said, David, you are that person. And he could not but understand this because Nathan's lips were not sealed. And no doubt, David was hurt at the time, but he was ever grateful to this man for not sealing his lips. Because you know, my friend, David was forgiven. And truly it was good that Nathan sealed not his lips. But then if you have your Bible, let's look at another example. In 1 Kings chapter 22, you'll find Ahab, the evil king. And he was wanting to go to war, and all the prophets, 400 of them, said, go up to war. And there is a question that is raised to Ahab, is there not a prophet amongst the other people? And he said, well, there is the troubler of Israel, Micaiah. And now he didn't want Micaiah's advice, because Micaiah is always going against what Ahab wants. But they sinned from Micaiah. And Micaiah possessed courage when he said, you shouldn't go up to war. God won't give you the victory. And he looks out at him and says, see, I told you he's never on my side. And yet at the same time, it could have been easy for that man to have sealed his lips. But even though that man knew punishment would follow, he sealed them not. He spoke the truth when it needed to be spoken. But this morning when we studied John the Baptist, do you remember, my friend, that man spoke up. That man was not afraid to preach the truth even when it was unpopular. He dealt with every unpopular situation. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7, when the Pharisees were coming out to be baptized, he looked at them and said, who told you brood of vipers to come? And you'll remember as we talked about this morning from Mark 6 or the parallel account of Matthew 14:14, he looked right at a king of Herod and he said, it's not lawful for you to be married to your brother's wife. He said, it's not lawful that you have her. Of all the things to say, he said the truth to that man, what he needed to hear, not what he wanted to hear. And you know, my friend, he didn't seal his lips. And you know what Jesus said about him? Jesus gave him the greatest compliment. He said, there's none greater born of woman than John. But then if you have your Bible, look at Jesus. Have you ever noticed that Jesus was never a compromiser? He never sealed his lips in spite of the danger. He never taught in a way that was ambiguous to man. He let man know that they couldn't be eased into the kingdom of God. In Luke 18, when the rich young ruler came in verse 18 saying, what must I do to inherit life? Have you ever noticed he didn't just make it easy? He wanted him to see that his sins were involved and he needed to change. That man fully understood what it meant when he left to be in the kingdom of God. Have you ever thought that sometimes if we're not careful, we'll flatter people into a kingdom? If we're not careful, what we'll tell someone is, you know, you'd make a good song leader for us, and we wink at them, then they come down the aisle to be baptized, thinking they're doing us a favor. When, my friend, they need to understand that they're a sinner that needs remission of sin. And that they can only get it from God. And if we're not careful, what we do is flatter people into the kingdom instead of teaching them the truth of God. Jesus didn't do that. in Matthew 23 when Jesus talked about the Pharisees and he called them hypocrites. And you read through that chapter, he speaks in a way that's just too plain for one to miss. He certainly didn't seal his lips there. But then when you think about Peter, in Acts chapter 2, Peter plainly stood up and told the people that they were guilty of crucifying the Lord and that they needed to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. He didn't seal his lips. Think of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. When he has looked at this council that wants to put him to death, and he makes a defense for Jesus Christ, even though it means he's going to be stoned, he knew that they would hurt him. His death, he still refused to seal his lips. He looked at them and said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in ears and heart, why do you reject and kill the prophets just like your fathers did?" And then look at Philip. In Acts chapter 8, when he went to the eunuch, what did that man do? He told the man about Jesus. He was a man that needed to hear about Jesus. And beginning at verse 26, he opened his mouth. He opened it and spoke Jesus. He didn't seal his lips. Look at Paul. Oh, time after time, this man opened his mouth in defense of the gospel of Christ. And you read such in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 17. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 17, the man of God said, "He the latter out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel." What did all these individuals do? They spoke up when they needed to speak up to defend and proclaim and teach the gospel of Christ. Now I want to end with this question. What about your lips? Do you seal them when they need to be open and open them when they need to be sealed? Do you tell people about Jesus or do you apologize for the truth? Do you remain silent if it's going to cost you something? And you know what I need to do and what we need to do and we all need to do is better check and see if our lips have been sealed or open. Because I'll tell you something, God knows. Remember, God knows. Elders, preachers, members, God knows why we say what we say. If we're afraid it'll cost us money or popularity or the love of the world, will we seal our lips? Or do we love the Lord so much we can't help but open our mouth and proclaim His truth to a lost and dying world? Question. When was the last time you opened your lips to tell someone what Jesus did for you? And when was the last time you told them they too can be saved by the love, mercy, and grace of God if they would just come to Him in obedience, be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, and be added to the family of God, walk in newness of life, and be His child? If this evening you need to come and open your mouth and confess Christ, we're here to help you in any way as together we stand and sing.